misi ari njana munu inimbazi gose benshi awe nore wabatisha.
For 100 days in 1994, in the Central African country of Rwanda, a genocide took place in which Hutus killed Tutsis and moderate Hutus. An estimated 800,000 people were killed. Today, the country is rebuilding from the ashes of that genocide. UN Radio traveled to Rwanda to find out how the survivors are faring. In this edition, two stories of reconciliation.
I remember everything. I remember how it happened.
On a rain-filled afternoon in the Rwandan village of Musha, a young man recounts how at 19 he murdered his neighbors during the 1994 genocide.
Ubundi tujya kwica abo bana.
When we went to kill those kids, we took them from where they were. And when we arrived at this place, the adults among us said that the children will kill the children. So we started to kill, and I killed one child named Karasira. And another boy my age helped me.
During the genocide, the Hutus killed the Tutsis. I lost everybody in my natural family and in my husband's family. I had 6 kids. 3 were killed along with my husband.
Zavarin Niragire survived the genocide and has somehow survived the loss of her family. What is remarkable to many, Rwandans and others alike, is that she has forgiven Kassien for killing her family. And even more remarkable, they are not just neighbors in Musha, they are friends.
I know who killed my family. That man, Kalinda Kassien. He's the main person who killed my children, and he's the first person I reconciled with.
The village of Musha is green and lush and hilly, like much of Rwanda. Zavarin's sparsely furnished house is neat and filled with the sounds of children, her 3 surviving children, and others she is raising. On this rainy day, she takes us to meet Kassien.
After I killed, I was beside myself. I left that place. I went back home by another route and went straight to bed. Why? Because I lost peace. I was very agitated. I felt fear in my heart because it was the first time that I saw a person kill another person.
Kassien spent time in prison for his crime after being tried by the grassroots courts known as Gachacha. As soon as he was released from prison, he sought out Zavarin.
From the day I asked the lady to forgive me, it seems that I came back to life. I stopped being afraid of her. I can get closer to her without fear. And she can ask me any questions and I will respond. Since that day, I have regained my desire to be around people and to socialize with people.
We know that confession is a basis for forgiveness, and also the victims know the story of what happened to them, and if they feel that the perpetrator feels remorse, then they can also forgive them.
Fatima Indangiza heads Rwanda's National Unity and Reconciliation Committee. The government's official policy of reconciliation argues that telling the truth about what happened is key to healing the nation.
We know there's no way we can build a reconciled people and reconciled nation when we forget our past. We know that remembering the 94 genocide, remembering the dead, gives us strength so that our never again can be a reality. We constantly tell our people that you shouldn't remember in order to be stuck in the past. It's not remembering for revenge. It's remembering for renewing our strength to say it was bad, genocide was the worst tragedy, never should it happen, so that everybody can learn lesson and reconcile and move on. We don't want our people to be stuck in the past.
Cassie End and Zavarin's case is only one story in a country of more than 800,000 victims whose families live with their own painful memories.
My name is Jean-Marie Vianney Hitimana. In Rwanda, terrible things happened. They were preaching hate and divisiveness between Rwandans. When the genocide began, people were killing other people. Neighbors killed neighbors.
Jean-Marie Vianney recalls that the killers threatened to kill him with a machete if he didn't join them. That night, he killed a man who was not only his neighbor, but someone he was close to.
The killers dragged me to Annunciate's house. They forced me to go to the river where we killed them. I was forced to take part in the attack. We drowned Annunciate's father in the river. Her father was my friend. Can you imagine? He had promised me a cow. And in Rwandan culture, that is something very strong. It's something that connects two families.
Like Cassien, Jean-Marie spent time in prison, 13 years. While he was in prison, Annunciata found out from others who took part in the attack on her father that Jean-Marie had not willingly killed her father. And like Zavarin, she has been able to forgive him.
It wasn't easy, but slowly I felt the time had come to forgive, and I realized it was time to forgive him. I also realized that anger wasn't useful, and since he had expressed remorse, I decided to forgive him. There are people who don't understand how I can forgive the person who murdered my father, but he wasn't the only one to kill him. From the bottom of my heart, I have forgiven him. And I pray for those who are not able to forgive the people who killed their family members.
But underneath the surface willingness to forgive, Annunciata struggles to overcome the problems in her life. From the carefree life before the genocide of a young teenager whose businessman father ensured that she had all the material things a young girl could want, she now must find a way to raise the son she gave birth to after being raped during the genocide.
I had a good life, but now I have so many problems. Every day I worry about my future, knowing I don't have any brothers or sisters to help me. If the UN can't provide brothers and sisters, since they saw what happened to us, they should help us. The International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda helped only a few survivors. But the UN did not keep its promises to help find housing for widows and orphans in Kamonyi district where I live. I find it difficult to take care of my child who was born after I was raped. And I am taking care of my sister's child. My sister who was also raped during the genocide died of AIDS. If I die today, if I die tomorrow, who will take care of my two children? We are here with no help and no hope for the future.
Annunciata, who lost her father and six siblings and more family members in the genocide than she can count, is disappointed that the UN has not done more to help the survivors of the genocide. And she finds it difficult to understand why her son is not entitled to the same benefits that other survivors receive.
I have learned to love my son. In the beginning, I hated him. And when I first got pregnant, I tried to abort the pregnancy several times, but it didn't work. I love my son. But when I have a hard time making ends meet, it comes into my head that he is a child of rape. I don't understand why he doesn't have the same rights as children born in the normal way.
Annunziata struggles to make a living, and Jean-Marie works the land in his village, and neighbors pay him to cultivate crops. He and Annunziata are close. They help each other and share problems, something the neighbors have a hard time understanding. Jean-Marie is clear that should he ever again be in a situation like the one in which he killed Annunziata's father, he would not do what he did that time.
I was afraid, so I followed them. But now I know that war doesn't bring anything positive. Today I would resist, even if it meant being killed. To live after helping to kill your neighbors, that is not a life. I prefer to be killed.
Annunziata and Jean-Marie are friends, and Zavarin and Cassien are too. And for the thousands of survivors living uneasily next door to suspects today, the possibility of healing and forgiveness is also within reach. Gachacha, the informal justice system, offers a route to remorse and justice. Survivor groups provide emotional support. And church organizations and NGOs are all working to help heal the wounds caused by this horrific tragedy. As some of the emotional needs are filled, there is an imperative to make sure the survivors and perpetrators alike have the basics, food, medical care, shelter, to live the new lives they are struggling to create.
10 years of suffering, 10 years of wandering, 10 years remembering.
Hey yo, this is reality, let's keep it real. Teach us now. Teach us now, deep inside, never hide from genocide. In our hearts, let's decide, always say no to genocide. No more genocide in Rwanda. No more genocide in the world. No more, no more. No more.